Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. We got back in from Canada about 8:30 yesterday evening. It was a good trip. It was a pastor's conference. I'm trying to turn in my Bible at the same time. Here we go. All right. I wasn't expecting too many pastors up there. I don't know why, only because two of my good friends, put this back here, two of my good friends have moved away, two pastor friends. And I was just thinking, well, maybe the numbers were going to be down. Maybe there weren't as many pastors, but there was a good crowd because there was a good deal of lay people that were there as well. On Friday night, I spoke on Friday night, and then the man who is my pastor, Pastor Tim Rader, no relation to Jim here. I've checked that out already, but he pastors the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. That's about 18 miles south of the locks, the Sioux Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He preached Saturday morning, and so it was just a good time of fellowship. There were pastors there from as far east as North Bay, and I know you might not know these places. North Bay, you go through Sudbury, and then you get to North Bay on the eastern end of Lake Nipissing over there, Big Lake, and they were from there. We had a pastor from Kapuskasing, and he's been I've known of him, but I don't recall meeting him, but he's been there since 97. That's 75% French-speaking. Now, he comes from Quebec, so he's been well-prepared for a French-speaking community, but he came probably 6 hours from further north to the meeting, and it was a good time of fellowship, and a lot of lay people were there. But I'll tell you, one of the things that was said by at least two, if not three, preachers that were there is that there is a decline in fundamentalism today in our churches today. Now, that's not true in every case because it's not true here. Amen? To God be the glory. But as we continue into these, what I believe are the last days, the truth of the matter is, once we got into the New Testament period of time, the church age, we're in the last days. But I think the last days are getting closer and closer and closer to our Lord's return. Satan is going to be fighting for all of he's worth. And he's working in churches today. There's decline that we see. Well, I got one little cute illustration, because I'm pointing out our Sunday school program along with other things today. A new child was visiting Sunday school, and the teacher greeted him and asked the little lad, "How old are you?" The little boy held up four fingers, and the teacher said, "Oh, you're four. Four fingers. Oh, you're four." Well, just to make conversation, the teacher asked him, "When will you be five?" The child stared at her, and then after a few seconds replied, "When I hold up the other finger, then I'll be five." Well, how they measure time is a little different than the way most of us measure time, isn't it? But Sunday school, what a great ministry it is. I had you turn to 2 Timothy because I read this for last week. We were in Acts chapter 2, a place after the day of Pentecost when there were 3,000 people saved and were added to the church. And then it gives us four purposes of the church. We talked about that last week. I had you toward the end of the message turn to 2 Timothy, but I never got very far with it last week. But we looked at verse 15 of chapter 3. Now bear in mind, Timothy is a young preacher, and Paul is writing these two books. 1 Timothy is a conduct manual. 2 Timothy here is a combat manual. And you can pick that up when you, in 2 Timothy here, when you look, for instance, at verse 7 of chapter 4. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Indeed, it's a battle. It's a fight. And that's why the book of Ephesians encourages us to put on the whole armor of God. Why would we have to put on the armor of God if we were not in a fight? But we are. But looking at verse 14, first of all this morning, or verse 15. Again, Timothy is a young preacher. He's at Ephesus. Ephesus, there was so much paganism, there was so much false doctrine that was being taught. And Paul reminds Timothy of a few things. Go actually back up to verse 13, because it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That was true then, and it's true today. It's true today. Evil men and seducers. And we have evil men and seducers even within the walls of some churches, even over the airwaves that broadcast programs, even on the internet. It's there. How are you going to know? How are you going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? He goes on in verse 14 and says, Paul does, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. We have to learn. We have to be taught. And yes, of course, I attempt to teach the Word of God here and preach the Word of God. But in addition to that, we have our Sunday school program. We have Sunday night. We have Wednesday night and now Master Club for our children. We have men's Bible study. We have ladies' Bible study. And the list does not have to end there. We need to learn. You know, the Southern Baptists, in spite of perhaps some of their flaws, at one time, they certainly had they were right on. Years ago, when I went to college, the church there, Highland Park Baptist Church, great church, Dr. Lee Robertson, you don't know that name, Dr. Lee Robertson will go down in the history of Baptist fundamentalism as one of the greats. Highland Park Baptist Church, the same. And I had the privilege to sit under his ministry for 4 years during my college days. But that church originally was a Southern Baptist church, went way back before my time. But Dr. Lee Robertson led that church out of the Southern Baptist movement, and I'm not putting a condemnation on Southern Baptists. I have some good Southern Baptist friends, and some of them are very evangelistic, very true to the Word, use the King James Version, and so forth. And they're good friends of mine. But here's what the Southern Baptists used to do. They used to have what was called training union. Has anybody ever heard that term? Brother John, you've heard it. Carolyn, you've heard it. A few of you. Training union. It was on Sunday night. There, that's better, isn't it? Okay. It was on Sunday evening before the church service. So like Sunday school at night. You think it's tough getting to Sunday school in the morning? We had Sunday school back then, if you want to call it that, morning and night. Why? Because I'll tell you what, the Southern Baptist believed that they had to train their people. So we had training union classes Sunday evening. You know they don't do that anymore? And in fact, many churches have quit the Sunday school altogether. A lot of our contemporary churches, and many of them are brethren and so forth, just have one service, big service, and of course there's the big to-do up here, the lights and the band and what have you and everything that's up here. This is where it is, right here. But then no Sunday evening service, no Wednesday evening service. They may have some Bible studies through the week. But, and even in our Baptist churches, we're diminishing. Now, Jerry Falwell, and think what you will of Jerry Falwell and Liberty, and he did some wonderful things in his day. He's gone to be with the Lord. Back in 2002, he came through with this, problems in Sunday school. Many denominations are struggling with attendance. Publishing houses, the ones that permit a print Sunday school material are declining in unit sales. I don't know about our supplier, if they are or not. Regular attendance is declining among regular members. The most faithful attenders are not as regular in attendance as in the past. This was written in 2002. Some Sunday school leaders are ready to give up Sunday school and are searching for other methods or programs, turning to cells, home Bible studies, etc. Five major problems within the Sunday school. The attendance problems, the recruitment problems. It's hard to get people to volunteer to teach in Sunday school. And we need more teachers here. But praise God, people are stepping forward. By the way, let me go off on a rabbit trail here a minute. Up in Canada, I bragged on you folks when I preached. I really did. I said that Christy and I came to this church, and it was essentially at a place of quit. There was a vote taken here. Some of you might not know that, whether or not to close the doors of this church. And it was about that time the Lord led us here through the leadership of this church. And we didn't come here to see this church die. I'll tell you that. Amen? We came here to see this church go forward. But all too many, there's so many churches struggling. The church I pastored in Gooley River, Ontario, is closed today. And that happened within the last year, well, maybe 2 years. Breaks my heart. Christy and I poured our lives into that church along with other missionaries. And the founding pastor and his wife, Fred Norlin was his name. And they're both gone to be with the Lord, he and his wife. But the church where we conducted this ministry in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, even though we had a great representation of pastors and people from churches, church was full. Small church, though. Oh, probably would sit it, the middle section here would be the most it would hold. Okay, but it was packed. Okay, but most of them were from out of town. And that church, it's called Maranatha Baptist Church. I pray for it every week. Jeremy Witte is its pastor. It's struggling. It could close. I can see how that could happen. Oh, that would hurt my heart. In Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Maranatha Baptist Church. But churches are closing. Sunday school is dying. Let me just give you this part. I was starting on that. There's other problems. The facility problems, money problems, resource problems. The solution isn't always leadership, excuse me. Let me give you four things here, four questions we must answer. What is the Sunday school? Understand this, please, that the Sunday school needs to be the reaching arm of the church. Somewhere here in my mess this morning. I don't like to be so messy. There's some of these on the back counter. Next Sunday is Donut Sunday. Okay? Everybody that's here at Sunday school gets a donut. Now you say, Brother Kim, is that sort of bribing people to come to church? Well, if you think rewards are bribes, well, then I guess you're probably right. But you know what? The Bible promises us rewards for our faithful service here on this earth. So I have no problem giving a donut to someone if they'll come to church and Sunday school. And I'm going to eat one too. the reaching arm of the church, the teaching arm of the church. Look at verse 15. We got up to verse 15. Verse 13 says, Paul was saying, continue in the things you've learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Learning is important. And then in verse 15, it says, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto first of all salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's salvation. Have you been saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's the starting point. Understanding that all of us, when we're born sinners, and that we're on our way to a place called hell, but because of God's love for us, He sent Jesus to this earth and He died on a cross. And many people understand Jesus was a person. He came here in the flesh and He lived and He died on a cross. And some people celebrate that at Easter time, although most of our country is confused and they think Easter has to do with bunnies and eggs and things like that. But Jesus died to pay for our sin and provide salvation. Many people know that, but yet haven't made a heart decision to receive Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an event that takes place in your life. Salvation. So if you haven't been saved today, you need to be saved. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you know when you were truly born again? That's a starting point. And I know many of you, and most of you do, but if there's one or more here today that isn't certain that if you were to die today, you would be on your way to heaven. You would be in heaven if you were to die today. You don't know that for certain. Oh, please, say something to me or my wife in the back or someone else who can take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. So Sunday school is the soul-winning arm of the church. And then the fourth thing that I'll just share quickly, then I don't want this message to continue next week, but it's the caring arm of the church. Hey, your Sunday school classes ought to care for you. Classes ought to be like little families. Okay, our adult group, if we can get a young adults class going, we want to reach other young adults. We've got our children's classes and our teachers. We're trying to set up aides with each of our teachers' classes. And between the teacher and the aide, they ought to care for those kids. Know when they're sick. Reach, send them a card. Pay a visit if they can. And do that with their Sunday school class. Now, I want to go back to the Word of God and keep moving on here. You come to verse 16 and 17, two important verses that have to do with the Word of God. Remember now, Timothy learned from a child. That's the best time to learn. Wouldn't you agree, adults? The best time to learn is when you're a child. That's why we send our kids to kindergarten when they're little. And then first grade, second grade, third grade, and some parent, my littlest grandson here in Michigan, he's in 3 years of preschool right now before he starts kindergarten. Why? Because they're like a sponge soaking in everything they hear and learn at that age. And our children need to be here in Sunday. If they don't get it here, I tell you what, they're not going to get it in public school. They're not going to get it on their computer, most likely. They're not going to get it in the community you live in. It's got to come here in the church. And oh, the importance of Sunday school. Look at 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and you understand that the Bible is God-breathed. It's unlike any other book you might have in your house. Make sure you know that and understand that it's the living Word of God, and it's powerful. Oh, how I could spend a lot. We could talk about that's a doctrine, the inspiration of the Word of God, but let's go on. And it's profitable for four things, it tells us here. These are good memory verses. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, not sinlessly perfect. That word perfect is an indication of being mature. Mature, a mature Christian, growing up. Not a baby Christian, as Hebrews talks about, but a mature one, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, prepared for all good works. That's what we want to see, do we not? In our church family, in our young people, in our children, in our teens, so happens that the material we're using for the teen class covered the same material. And so my teenagers back here are getting it twice today, but that's okay. I didn't plan it that way, but that's how it came out. Now, let me give you a few points from verse 16 that we just read. The four things that God's Word does in our lives. The first one, it says, and is profitable for doctrine. When we think about doctrine, some people shy away from that. I've been thinking, how can I teach doctrine? Like a doctrines class. I remember taking doctrines in Bible college, and boy, that's a tough one to go through, but it's important. And I try to share with you doctrines through messages. It's important for doctrine or what we believe. You got to know what you believe, folks. For instance, I asked the teenagers today, big thing going on now, and it's amazing. It's amazing to me how fast we're degenerating in this country. All of this transgenderism stuff. Unbelievable to me. 2 years ago, did we hardly ever even hear of it? And now it's everywhere. So I asked the girls this morning, I said, what do you think about that? Do you think that's right? Do you think that's good? And thankfully, none of them did. None of them did. It's wrong. It's wrong. You know what it is? It's self-mutilation. It is. And that's not scriptural. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not to mutilate it. God made man, male and female in the beginning, and he saw that it was good. And people are messing with God's creation when they're doing that kind of stuff. The girls were telling this morning that there's kids, I guess, I don't know, teens, I don't think they're school, but maybe they hear about it. I didn't get all the details. But people who, it's not just if a guy wants to be a girl or a girl wants to be a guy. It's people identifying as dogs or cats. And the girls told me this morning there's some kids that want to identify as cats and they bring their litter box with them. How perverse is that? How do you know what you believe? Right here. The Word of God. Where do you get the Word of God? Well, of course, you should be studying the Word of God on your own, but we proclaim the Word of God here every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. It's the Word of God that gives us truth. We need to know what we believe. Then let's go on. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now get these. Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is what is not right. God will show you. He'll reveal it to you. Things like I just was talking about. But any other issue you want to figure out, God's Word is profitable for reproof, for correcting us. And you know what? I always need correction. Don't ever say, well, I know everything. I don't think anybody here would do that. I don't know everything. There's times I need to be reproved or corrected. And sometimes it may be things that we believe, and we think we know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and then God comes through and says, no, 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 no. That's not the way it is. For reproof. And when there's sin in our life, He shows us that. He shines a light on the things in our life that's wrong. He reveals it to us. And listen, when He does, be quick to confess known sin. Quick. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, that means to agree with God. God, I understand, according to the Word of God, what's right and what's wrong in my life. Forgive me for what's wrong. Set me on the right course. Oh, throughout life, we do that really constantly. It could be every day. Wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes. They could be sins of commission, things that we do, but sins of omission, things that we don't do, that we should be doing. God shows us that through His Word. So the Word of God here is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and then it says for correction. And here's what correction is. It's how to get right. All right? Fortunately and thankfully, there is always a way to get right with God. You might say, well, Pastor Kim, what if somebody commits adultery? Well, it's going to be a tough path, but there would be a path to get right with God. What if somebody commits murder? That's a tough one too. There's going to be a price to pay to society. But it's possible to get right with God. It's always right to get, it's always possible to get right with God. You say, but Pastor Kim, I've messed up my life. This has happened. That's happened. There's a way to get right with God. And far too many people are living in the past and what's happened in the past. The past sometimes is hard. Proverbs said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. And it's true. It's difficult sometimes. But with God, all things are possible. How to get right with God? I assure you this morning, you can leave the doors of this building right with God. And I pray that you will. And then the last one, and we're going to finish up here, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and then for instruction in righteousness. And you know what that is? That's how to stay right with God. Oh, that's a wonderful place to be. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. Again, I'm not saying sinlessly perfect, but it's a wonderful life living for the Lord. It's a joy. Oh, seek it, my brother and my sister here today. Seek the life that God wants for you. Well, let me close with some good news here today. Some good news. You're all going to die. Really, that is good news, because if you know the Lord, you're going to be in heaven. It doesn't sound too friendly, does it? You're all going to die. And you know what? You're going to have your body carried by six or more men in a box. And it's going to be lowered into the ground. And somebody else is going to take a shovel or a tractor and throw dirt in your face. and then everybody else is going to go back to the church and eat potato salad. But we're all going to die. And only what's done for Christ will last. And we come to the invitation time this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Last week, the altar was flooded with people who want to be involved, who want to see this church go forward. People that are Sunday school teachers, you didn't even have to be a Sunday, you just care. You just care enough to pray. I'm going to do an invitation a little bit differently here today, and I do this from time to time because I change it up. But an invitation is vital. It's a time for you and me, for all of us, to make decisions. And we're going to just remain in our seats today for a time of silent prayer. You can take as long as you want. Now, I've in the past gone out to the back door. Christy's at the piano today. I'm just going to kneel up here at the at the altar. And you may come up here to the altar if you want, or just stay in your seat. But I'm going to ask that you go to God in prayer. Everybody, decision is not just, an invitation is not just for a few. It's for every one of us today. Every one of us. Will you do business with God today? Let me ask you to do these things. Number one, search your heart. If there's any known sin, would you confess it to God today? Ask Him to cleanse your heart and life. Ask Him to help you with your battles. Then let me ask you this. How many of you have a loved one, a relative that does not know the Lord as your Savior? Would you raise your hand? Many hands. How many of you have a loved one that claims to be saved, but they're not right with God? They're not in church. They're not living like a Christian would be. Many hands. Put them down. How many of you have a friend, a co-worker, someone you know, maybe a neighbor, that you know needs to know the Lord? Would you put your hand up? Many, many hands are raised. We really all know somebody, don't we? Let's do this. Without any talking, just the piano playing this morning, would you go to God in prayer? And pray for the things that I mentioned. Start with yourself. And don't talk. You may leave when you want to leave. I won't be at the door to greet you. It's so good to see you today. God bless you. But what's important today is the decisions you make right now. If you'd like to come to the altar with me to pray, you may. You may leave quietly when you're finished. God bless you. We're finished. We're done.